You see this on the news, and perhaps you're experiencing it in your life. People are suffering because of their faith. Overseas, and even here, a few months ago, people go to jail because of their faith. Here, people lose friends because of their faith. People might lose, who knows what you're going through because of your faith, because you have decided, I love Jesus, and I'm going to live by faith in Jesus Christ. People suffer because they live for Jesus. Does God have a purpose in our suffering? Is there any encouragement for people who suffer for Christ? The answer is a great big yes. Would you please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 and stand with me as we read this morning's passage. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would help you understand the beautiful truth in these five verses and encourage you in your faith? Will you pray right now for the other people in this room that God would help them to understand these five verses and they would be encouraged in their faith? Would you pray for me that I would do a great job of capturing the message the Holy Spirit gave to the Apostle Paul? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated and look with me at this incredible verse, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, Paul has just spent Romans 3:21 to 4:25, explaining that we are justified by faith, not works. Now, in chapter 5, he wants to expand on that just a little bit. He wants to tell us what goes along with that here in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever suffered a broken relationship? It's one of the most heartbreaking things, isn't it? Sometimes it's a relationship with a family member that is broken. Sometimes it's a close friend, sometimes a coworker or a neighbor, and that can be the most heartbreaking thing when a relationship is broken like that. But have you ever experienced the joy of being reconciled to that person? It is the greatest thing, and it's especially great. It feels especially good when the relationship was broken because of your wrongdoing. If the relationship was broken and it was your fault and you can be reconciled, that's one of the greatest joys we ever experience. And that is what happened with our relationship with God. Our relationship with God was broken, and it was our fault, wasn't it? It was our fault. But because of Jesus, We have been justified. We have been declared righteous. We have been cleared of all charges. And you know what that means? That means we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Look behind me on the screen, Colossians 1, 21 and 22. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He, Jesus, has now reconciled you. That's what it means to have peace with God. He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a judge can clear you of all charges. If you're in court and I'm the judge, I can weigh the evidence or I can do the court case and all that, and I can pound my gavel and clear you of all charges. I can acquit you. That's what it means to be justified. I can clear you of all charges, but after you're just going to go out of the court. I could care less about you. You're just going to go out of the court. We're never going to see each other again. We have no relationship, but that's not the same with God. God, the judge of all the earth, clears you of all charges and adopts you into His family as His child. We have both. We are justified, cleared of all charges, by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with God. Number one in your notes. Since we've been justified, declared righteous, cleared of all charges by faith, we have peace with God. We have been reconciled to Him. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I have peace with God today? Is it because I'm obedient? Is it because I earned it? Is it because I'm a good person? No, it is because and only because I am united to Christ. I am united to Christ. I am in Christ, and therefore I have peace with God. Look at verse 2. Through whom, that's Jesus, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Let's say I'm a king. I'm king of Indio. And you are one of my subjects, and you were not a loyal subject. You were rebellious. You were evil. You committed crimes. And because of that, I banished you from my kingdom. And then out of love for you, an innocent person who loves you goes and gets you, and this innocent person brings you into my presence and represents you and pleads for you. And because of that, I extend my grace to you and I forgive you and you are welcomed back into the kingdom. That's exactly what Jesus did for you. Where do we stand with God? What is the state of our relationship with Him? Because of our disobedience, we were living in God's wrath. We were over here. We were under God's wrath, separated from Him, deserving hell. But our Lord Jesus has brought us to the King. And our Lord Jesus has brought us into a new situation. We were in wrath, but we now stand in grace. That is our status. That is a new state that we are in. We are in grace. like someone bringing a banished person into the presence of the king, Jesus brings us to the Father and brings us into grace. That is your status. If you're in Christ, you are in grace, under the grace of God right now. Number two in your notes. Our Lord Jesus has taken us from being in God's wrath to being in God's grace. And verse 2 says, because we are in God's grace, we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. We exalt in the hope of the glory of God. If I'm a son and I have a dad, of course, and I'm rebellious to that father, and I'm really, really, really rebellious, and he kicks me out, and the relationship is broken, I may have no hope of an inheritance. He might write me out of that inheritance and give his money and his things to someone else. But if I am brought back under the grace of my dad, I have the hope of an inheritance. And that's what we have because because Jesus has brought us back into the Father's good standing. Because we are in a good standing, we are in good standing with God now, we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. We have an inheritance. We have something to look forward to. We have eternal life in our future. We can exalt or joy in the hope of the glory of God in the future. Look at verse 3. Paul says we exalt in our future, but what about our present? What about our present? Heaven is going to be awesome, amen? But down here is not all that great. Let's face it. Down here is not all that great. So the question is, what encouragement is there for down here? We can rejoice in the future, but can we rejoice in the present? Look at verse 3. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. We can rejoice in our suffering for Christ. We can rejoice in our suffering for Christ. Number 3 in your notes. Our tribulation gives us a reason to rejoice. Why? Why do we rejoice in our suffering for Christ? 3 reasons. Number 4 in your notes. Tribulation brings about perseverance. Tribulation brings about perseverance. It is hard to be a Christian down here on earth. There are many trials, there are tribulations that come upon us because we have chosen to love and serve Christ. But praise God, God uses our suffering for Him to build our endurance. We become stronger Christians when we suffer for Christ. We become stronger Christians when we suffer for Christ. You know, I went to Central Asia in June, and I met 4 people. One of them is named Ahmed, and Ahmed was tortured in prison on 4 different occasions for about 50 days. And I met him face to face, and he said many things to me. I've shared most of them with you, but one thing he said to me is this. This is a quote, having gone through all these things, a man becomes stronger. Having gone through all these things, a man becomes stronger. The tribulations that the persecuted church are suffering overseas right now are making them stronger Christians. And the same is true of you and I. The same is true of you and I. When we suffer for Christ, it makes us stronger. James 1:2-4, behind me on the screen. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Trials make us stronger. Hebrews 12, 1, behind me on the screen. Therefore, second row. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is a race. The Christian life is a race. And the suffering we go through because we are Christians gives us endurance to finish the race. There are more benefits to our suffering. Look at verse 4. Perseverance, proven character. Perseverance, proven character. Number 5 in your notes. Perseverance brings about proven character. Perseverance brings about proven character. When gold goes through the fire, the impurities are burned away, and what comes out is precious. And that's what happens to us when we go through trials for Christ. That's what happens to us when we go through trials for Christ. We go through the fire for Christ, and impurities are burned away, and we come out more mature believers. Mature character should be the goal of your life. That should be what you are striving for by God's grace. We can't do that in our own effort. We are saved by grace, and we mature as Christians by grace. We live for God by grace, and we will get to heaven by grace. But mature Christian character should be the goal of your life. Keep a bookmark in Romans 5 and come with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. This passage is a great illustration of the difference between Christianity and other religions. Is this Colossians chapter 1 or is this Colossians chapter 3? This is Colossians 3. These commands come after 2 chapters of the gospel, after 2 chapters of showing you all that you are and all that you have in Christ. Verse 12 is a perfect example. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 does not read like this. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's not verse 12. verse 12 is this: so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy, already, and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We live for Jesus because of who we are in Jesus. Amen? Immorality, impurity, greed, anger, slander, abusive speech, all these things are the result of our corrupted, damaged human nature. Because of sin, brothers and sisters, we are literally malfunctioning. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech. This is the human malfunctioning. This is not how we were created to be in the image of God. Christ comes into your heart to do what? To clean you up, to repair you, to take away the sin virus, to clean you up so that you can embrace what humanity was supposed to look like. And that is compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love, and so on. So my question to you is this: is Christ-likeness the number one pursuit of your life? Is Christ-likeness the number one pursuit of your life? Number six in your notes: we must get to the point where we would rather be free of sin than free of tribulation. We must get to the point where we would rather be free of sin than free of tribulation. God uses our suffering as Christians to make us like Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise his holy name. There is one more benefit to suffering. Take a look at verse 4. Romans 5:4. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. We've talked about hope before here, and for hope, the ideal example is my dog. Now let me before you walk out the door, let me go ahead and explain that. I'm not a good dog owner. I spoil the dog. I give the dog table scraps. Do it every time. So my dog is now spoiled. If you have dinner at my house, you can expect the dog to sit near you waiting for something. That's what's called biblical hope. Why is it biblical hope? Because she's going to get something. It's not a hope in vain. It's not a hope that disappoints. She's going to get something from the table. I guarantee it. She will not go away disappointed. That hope will not disappoint. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is the opposite of the life that the world strives for. Amen? It's the opposite. The world lives for now. Have fun now. Get rich now. Get your pleasure and joy out of life now, because that is all you get. That's what the world says. Christianity is the opposite. As Christians, we suffer now for glory later. We suffer now for glory later. That's so true that Paul makes this shocking statement in 1 Corinthians 15:19. Check out the context. I'm not pulling this out of context, but you look at it and check it out. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. The Christian life is about later. The Christian life is a race of endurance to a glorious finish line. And the amazing thing about suffering for Jesus, whether you just lose a job, or whether you lose friends, or whether you lose a little bit of money, or whether you lose your life, suffering for Jesus does not bring hopelessness. It actually strengthens our hope. Number 7 in your notes: proven character brings about hope. And I promise you that hope will not disappoint you. Why? Why can I say that? Look at verse 5. Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Brothers and sisters, either you're suffering now or you will suffer later. You may be suffering now and you may suffer later. But whatever God brings into your life as a result of your choice to follow Jesus, please remember this one fact. Number 8 in your notes. God has poured his love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. God has poured his love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. And that one fact assures you that our hope in Christ is firm and secure. You see, the Holy Spirit is like an engagement ring. I'm not wearing an engagement ring because guys don't do that. I'm wearing a wedding ring. But Julie, who's wearing a wedding ring, used to be wearing an engagement ring. An engagement ring is not a wedding ring. An engagement ring promises that there will be a wedding someday. And the Holy Spirit is your engagement ring in your heart. It is your guarantee. Oh, please listen to me. The Holy Spirit in your heart is your guarantee that you have eternal life and one day you will see the Lord face to face. Ephesians 1:13-14, behind me on the screen. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. God's love has been poured out into your hearts. Remember in the Old Testament when the Israelites were wandering through the desert, they ran out of something extremely important. It was not batteries. It was water. They ran out of water. And what happened? God provided them water out of a rock. It was this unending stream providing water for them. I want you to picture that when you think that God's love has been poured out into your heart. Christ in your heart is an unending source of living water, strengthening you for this life and giving you assurance of salvation. Picture a huge bucket that just keeps pouring and never stopping. God's love is a tidal wave filling your heart through the Holy Spirit that he has given to you. So what is your hope? What is your assurance? What is our assurance right now? The assurance is this. It's 3 words. God loves you. God loves you. And look at Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, bears witness, testifies to your spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we also may be glorified with him. I want to take a few moments and pray for the persecuted church overseas. This is why we do the One Hope Project. Because I want the believers who are in prison right now. I want the believers who have lost their jobs right now. I want the believers who are going to be kicked out of their homes. The believers that are persona non grata in their village. The believers that are suffering in school. The believers that are losing friends. The believers that have lost their job. You know what I want them to have? I want them to have their own Bible. I want them to be able to read Romans 5, 1 through 5, and have the strength to endure. Would you please turn to the person next to you, and from Romans 5, 1 through 5, pray for the church overseas. Amen. Well, this sermon was not for people overseas. It's for you. Because I believe it is my job to prepare you for persecution. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an expert on end times. I'm not an expert in America's cultural or political situation. I'm not an expert in any of that. I simply believe that we need to be prepared for more persecution. And I believe it's my job to prepare you for that. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and pray for yourselves, that we would stay strong and stand firm no matter what. Gracious Heavenly Father, we choose godly character. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that by your word, by your Holy Spirit, by friends, by Christian brothers and sisters, by whatever means you would like, that you would refine us and make us like Jesus. It's a scary prayer to pray, but it's the right one. In his name we pray. Amen. I want to remind you again, this is an incredibly awesome book. You need to read this book. This is called Transforming Grace, Living Confidently in God's Unfailing Love. I would say, other than the Bible, which is clearly the foundation, the Bible is in a class by itself, right? We have the Bible over here. We have all other books over here. Having said that, in this class over here, this book is a foundation for you to read. Read this book before you read other books on Christian living, because this gives you a foundation of grace, not works. Very good book. Read it. I want to leave you with a verse. Should have one more. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this service. We thank you for the word. In Jesus' name, amen.